Today we are beginning something that is so very vital to the health of our congregation. And I really believe not only to our congregation, I said this last week, but I'll say it again, really to our community. Let me say it again, if you have healthy churches, you are going to have healthy communities. Is that not right? That's true. And how many of you know that it takes healthy communities to create healthy states? Healthy states create a healthy nation. And I really believe we all want that. And so I want you to know we are really beginning something today that's very, very important in the life of our church. And what is that, you might ask? It is our small group campaign. It's officially starting today. In fact, I please hear my heart today. I just prayed God would give me grace to express this in a way that all of you could relate to and understand. But really, absolutely, if I were to say what is the most important thing that we as a congregation do all year, it is our small group campaign. And this year, what we're doing, we're rediscovering the purpose that God has for our life. Folks, listen, I hope if you stay with this entire series, you get involved in a small group, I pray and believe that you will understand the purpose that God has for your life. None of you are an accident. Now in this crazy world, you can feel like, oh, what happened? I mean, what's going on? Well, the world doesn't seem to be going in the direction we would all like it to go. But you know what? God's going in the direction we need to go. And all we need to do is find out, where is God going? And what is God doing? And what is God saying to us? And I'm going to do that in this series. You are planned for God's pleasure. You have a purpose. And I'm going to try to explain that. But because this is the most important thing that we do all year, I'm going to ask you to do your very, very, very best to attend all 6 of these Sunday services. I know we are a mobile society now, and that's very difficult. I know we have people that is impossible because of the nature of their job. But I am going to ask you to do the very, very best you can, as well as attending one of our small groups. And let me just tell you, this is so important. We're connecting people. And each year when we do this, we see more and more people become involved in a small group. And out of that comes that unity that's spoken of in the Bible. And out of that unity comes answer to prayer. I mean, folks, when people are unified and we're doing what God wants us to do, answered prayer is automatic. If we will just do what God says and connect with one another in relationship and get to know each other, then something marvelous is going to happen. Isn't it true? So I'm going to ask you to do your very best to be here all 6 services, as well as attending a small group. And listen, we want to assist you. My wife can assist you. She'll be out in the foyer after the service. She's more familiar with the times and changes and locations and the style of each group that you might want to be a part of. So I'm available to help you. And there's others here. Pastor Jim can help you. We want you to get in a small group and do it. Don't wait. If you wait too long, this thing will be here and gone before you know it. And you say, doggone, we meant to get in a group and we meant to be a part of this small group campaign, but somehow or another we missed it. You got to do it now. Everybody say to yourself, I will not procrastinate. I will not procrastinate. Now, this is dangerous, but turn to somebody and say, I will not procrastinate. Will not procrastinate. Now you're up in the level. You're up in the level. Now put your hand on your heart. No, don't do that. Folks, listen, all I'm trying to do is express to you how vitally important this is. There is great power in this. God birthed this in my heart years and years ago, and we've been growing in it, and I appreciate your cooperation. Let me just say this. If for any reason you do have to miss, I'm going to ask you to do this, especially during this 6-week campaign. I'm going to ask you to go and purchase the message on CD. You can do that back in the foyer. I'm going to ask you to go online. You can download the message, or now you can watch us by video. So I'm going to ask you to do one of those. Stay up with what we're doing. Everybody understand what I'm saying this morning. Everybody hear my heart. This is important. And I don't think I'm asking anything of you that's out of the bounds that's okay to ask you. I'm just asking us to do what God says and be the kind of people God says so we can see the kind of results we all want to see. I mean, you know, the world needs to see the church in its glory and what it really can be. That's what the world needs to see right now. And that's what we're striving to do. Now, I began this series with this question. And here's the question. I ask you this, what on earth am I here for? Now, I was honest with you last week, and I'm just going to tell you, folks, I have asked that question, and I go through different phases of my life where suddenly things are going great, and I wake up one day, and I'm spiritually tired, my emotions are drained, and I think, what am I on earth for? And that's the reason we're going back and we're revisiting these truths. We're going to discover what God's purpose is for us. We're going to understand why we're on the earth. How many of you know a lot of people right now in our world do not know why they're on this earth? That's the reason there's so much confusion and chaos. Don't underestimate it. It's not about the economy. It's not even about the moral problems of America. It's that people don't know why they were created. They don't know why they're on the earth. That's what this series is all about. And so today I'm going to talk to you about what I believe is our primary purpose for existing and why God created us and the purpose that He created us for. If you want to, you could call this purpose number one, but I want to be very careful here. All these purposes that we're going to talk about in this series are vitally important. One does not necessarily come before the other. It just depends on what's going on in your life at that point in time and that day. But you have a purpose, and here it is. We all are planned for God's pleasure. Now, I know that sounds very simplistic. Okay, give me more. I will give you more in just a moment. But we need to really understand that God created us. Why did He create us? For His pleasure. Revelation 4 and 11 says this, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created everything." Beloved, God is worthy. And we need to establish that again. If we really believe He is the creator of the earth and the creator of everything that's in the earth, then what do we need to do? We need to understand that He created us for His pleasure, but also that He is to receive glory. And He is to receive honor. And He is to receive power from His people. Why? Because He created everything. Psalms 149 in verse 4 says this, "The Lord takes pleasure in His people." You want to know why on Sundays or when we have other services that I really encourage you, I get up here and Mark encourages you, we encourage you to be a praiser. Why we encourage you to come in here ready to be a worshiper of God? Because God takes pleasure in His people. And how is it that He takes pleasure in His people? When we understand what our purpose is, that we are here to worship Him and bring Him glory and bring Him honor and He is to receive all the power. Now listen, the moment you were born into the world, God was there as the unseen witness smiling at your birth. Now we joke about this all the time. Oh, that must have been an oops, baby. It wasn't a planned baby. We need to just stop that. Parents, from this point forward, don't ever utter that to your parent or to your children. Well, you were kind of an accident. Jabez. How many of you know Jabez had the name Pain? What a name. Jabez had the name of Pain. In other words, you were an accident and you've been nothing but pain. What a name. Thank God Jabez overcame the things spoken on him. There are no accidents. I'm going to say something I hadn't said in a long time, beloved. Let me just say this. I don't believe God is the author of any form of evil. In fact, the Bible says God does not tempt anyone. But let me just tell you, a lot of Christians, a lot of people wonder, well, what about in the case of rape? Does that make it different? No, let me tell you, the moment conception happens between a man and a woman, God comes on the scene and says, you are not an accident. Even though this came about because of someone's evil intent, I'm going to take this and I'm going to make something very, very, very special. Beloved, you are not an accident. And you need to rejoice in that. God was there smiling at your birth. He wanted you alive, and your arrival gave Him pleasure. Parents, just think about that first little baby that you gave birth to. Oh, how precious that is, and how in awe you were, and just kind of overjoyed and protective over that little child. And I mean, you really didn't want that baby to go too far out of your presence because you were very protective. How many of you remember? And the joy and you just looked at that little baby like, wow, I created that little creature, and it's mine. And you value that little child, and you put a name on that child. You are happy. What about God when we are born? What do you think God's doing? God is excited and God is happy, and it was His intent and in His purpose. You were in an accident. He planned you for His purpose, and you bring pleasure to God. Me? You all bring pleasure to God. Your birth brought pleasure to Him, and you bring pleasure to Him. Amen? I'm not even going to qualify that. I don't think we understand that. He is the one that created us, and He created us for His pleasure to enjoy. Now, here's an important truth. God didn't need to create you, but He chose to create you for His own enjoyment. Are you listening to me today? Bringing enjoyment to God and living for His pleasure is the first purpose of your life. If I can, by the help of God, help you see this truth and help you realize that this is your primary purpose for existence in the earth is to bring pleasure to God. Let me take that to another level. Not only to give Him glory and honor and help Him receive the power that is due His name, but to have a relationship with Him. Now, He's God, and yes, we're His people, but the ultimate goal of God is not just to have pleasure, but it is to have relationship with mankind. That's why He created mankind, and that's why He created the earth, so we could have pleasure with Him, have a relationship with Him, and live on the earth with God. And if you factor God out of this thing, oh, let me just tell you how unhappy you're going to be. I often wonder, I'm so grateful that God came into my life, and sure, I have discouraging times I want to give up, but I try to imagine, what is it like to be a human being alive right now and not know God? Not have the stability of knowing you can go to God and pray. You can go to God and give Him your burdens. You can go to God and ask Him for the things that you need, and He promises to be your provider. What is it like to live without Him? I can't imagine it. I can't even understand it at this point in my life. But folks, when you understand what I'm talking about, this truth, you'll never again have a problem with feeling insignificant. There's a lot of people dealing right now with insignificant. They feel like their life means nothing. Oh, I'm telling you, it does. In fact, God creating you proves your worth and your value. You ought to put your hand on your heart today and say, I have value. But let me tell you something, beloved, and I think most of you know this. You're certainly not going to get your worth in this world today. You're not going to get encouraged. You're not going to get motivated to do right today. You are only going to receive that in a relationship with God. Is that not true? Now let me do this. Let me shift our thoughts. And let me kind of take this thought that I've been sharing with you to the next level. And I want you to listen. Bringing pleasure to God is called worship. Bringing pleasure to God is called worship. The Bible says this in Psalms 147, verse 11. It says, the Lord is pleased only with those who worship Him and trust His love. Now, folks, let me tell you what happens when you begin to worship God. Just like we did this morning. But I'm going to talk about that. This is not the only place we're to be worshiping God. Let me tell you what you begin to experience when you become a heartfelt worshiper of God. You begin to experience the favor of God on your life. Right now, we need the favor of God on our lives. There are people in this world that absolutely do not have God's favor on His life because they don't worship God. In fact, they keep God at a distance, and they will even tell God, I don't need You in my life. I don't want this. But when you realize that bringing pleasure to God is called worship, then it changes everything about your life. Now, do I have this perfected? Am I, you know, always right in how I do this? No. But I do know my purpose. And that's what I'm trying to convey to you. Here's the truth. Think about this with me now. Just open your mind and heart today. Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Can I say that again? Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. One of the things I want to do today is broaden our concept of what worship really is. Now think with me about worship. Have you ever gone into a store where they sell jewelry and maybe you've looked at a diamond? I've done that a few times to try to find something that I could afford for my wife to make her feel really special. In fact, God made a way for us and really did work out a miracle for us. I wanted Tracy to have a big, gaudy wedding ring because I didn't want anybody, if anybody looked at her, I wanted them to see all that flash and that glitter, and it was kind of like, take your hands off. Don't look this way. It's true. And God did provide a way for us to buy a very outstanding ring on a vacation somewhere, and she caught me at a weak moment and knew how to do it and said, oh, no problem, we've got the money, so guess what? She's got a ring. But how many of you know it's got a diamond in the center of it? And how many of you know that diamond is multifaceted? When you look at diamonds, and you really, it's very interesting when you start studying diamonds and what they do and how multifaceted they can be, the different types of diamonds and shapes and how they sparkle and glitter. I'm telling you, it's amazing. But let me just tell you something, beloved. Worship is the same way. Worship is the same way. Worship is multifaceted. I'll get to this in just a moment. Worship is not only what we've done this morning. That's just a part of it. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to tell you it involves a whole lot more than just coming together and having some music and singing. Now, that's wonderful. And it's powerful when we do it in the corporate setting. Because let me tell you what that does. It clears out all the stuff in the heavenlies that try to invade our community and invade our lives. It's absolutely vital that we understand that and that we prepare ourselves to come in here and be the corporate body of God worshiping together. Amen. Wasn't it wonderful this morning? Wasn't it absolutely wonderful? Because we were gathered in God's name. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover everything that I would really like to cover today about worship. Because I tell you, there's so much to it. However, I want us to look at the primary aspect of worship in this teaching. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to talk about styles. I'm not going to talk about this and that. There's just too much to do in one setting like this. But here's what anthropologists have noted. And I can tell you, not only have they noted it, not only is it scientifically true, I have experienced it wherever you go in this world. They have noted that worship is a universal urge or desire. Everywhere you go to Thailand, go to China, go to Russia, go to Afghanistan, go to any of these countries that you want to, go to Mexico. I mean, anywhere you want to go to America. Wherever you go, there is this universal urge and desire to be a worshiper of God. Mankind has been worshiping God from the very beginning. So no matter where you go, guess what? It's there. And here's what else they have observed. That each human being has been hardwired by God and that they have been built to connect with God. Now, folks, you hear me preach it all the time when I talk about our purpose. What is our purpose? It's about loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Why am I always preaching that? Why am I always saying that to you? Because I know if I can get you connected to God, I know if I stay connected to God, guess what? The purpose for my life is going to just, it's going to be automatic. We are hardwired to be worshipers. And some of you, you know, you hear it now, especially as you see our country moving away from God. You hear people say, oh, I'm not a worshiper. I'm an atheist. I'm not into this God stuff. Oh, don't fool yourself. And some of you Christians that say, well, that worship time that you guys have and all that, it's not for me. That's just not my personality. Oh, let me tell you, you are a worshiper. You are a worshiper. Mankind, bar none, is worshiping something today. Every human being on the face of the earth, there's nearly 7 billion of us, we're worshiping something. So if you say, no, now I'm not a worshiper. Don't come on, preacher, don't go there. It's just not my thing. It's not my personality. You are a worshiper, and you have been hardwired by God to be a worshiper, and you and I are worshiping something. And if we fail, please hear this today. If we fail to worship God, we will always find a substitute, even if it ends up being ourselves. See, we don't recognize me having my way in every decision and always having what I want, and regardless of what the other folks around me, the family or the crowd wants, that I'm going to tell you, folks, that's worship of self. Paul warned us in the last days. He said the number one characteristic of mankind, which I believe we're there, I believe we're entering into those last days. He said they will be lovers of themselves. It's all about me, what I want, how I want it. I mean, you know, that's not a good way to live. If we don't worship God, we will find a substitute. And if it's not ourselves, we'll worship something. Now, the reason that God made us with this desire is that He desires worship. Regardless of how you feel about it, God desires worship. Let me just take this moment to say that's the reason it's so vital that you pray for our services and that you pray for our worship teams. You pray for the student ministry when they're about to gather and have ministry. Because let me tell you, Satan wants to do everything he can to mess up the worship. Worship is what connects us to God, and it's what God desires from us. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. He said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Listen to this. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit, or with the help of the Holy Spirit, and in truth. You know what the Greek word for truth means? Not concealing your love. Not concealing your love for God. God is seeking today, right now, worshipers. And I thought a lot about this, and I kind of struggle with this. Is it because God's got such a big ego that God sits on His throne and has to be worshipped by His creation? Well, no, God does not have any degree of ego in Him. But God did create us, and He obviously desires our worship, and He desires to be honored and glorified for what He's done. That's very reasonable. How many of you parents want to be honored and recognized by your children? I mean, you've given thousands and thousands of dollars to their raising, and if they go to college, then it's multiplied two or three times over. How many of you want just a little bit of respect back for that? How many of you want an occasional instead of, "I don't like this"? How many of you just say, I appreciate you, parents. I am very grateful. As my children get a little older now, they do express that, thank God. But parents, don't be shocked if you go through a stage, you've done all these things for their kids, and they're still just not overjoyed about all you've done. It takes a little bit of experience, a few hard knocks, a few little tumbles here and there to kind of realize, okay, maybe mom and dad are not so crazy after all. Folks, God's the same way. You know, and I even struggled when I was thinking about this. You know, we really have made worship about us. And even when I talk about it being about us in relationship with God, that is true, but that's not first and foremost. God is seeking worshipers who will worship Him with the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit, and we'll do it, and we won't hide it. We all feel that pressure today in our crazy world to not worship God. We're in a place somewhere, and suddenly there's a situation, and we want to interject something, we want to say, but let me tell you what we do. We often cover it up. I say, folks, if the Holy Spirit is giving us something to say or do to express worship for Him or love, let's do it. You know something I recently made a fresh dedication to do? And you'll think, well, that's no big deal. Praying over my meals in public places and not rushing through that prayer so quick that people didn't see it. I'm not doing it to put on a show. I'm doing it, first of all, to show God in a public setting. I am not ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a Christian. But how many of you know you can be in certain settings that can be a little bit uncomfortable? There's a second reason I do it. I believe food needs to be blessed by God today. Now, I'm not sure He can bless French fries. You got more faith than I do. But I believe He can bless some other food. Amen. And if you have faith that He can bless your French fries, that's okay. The point being, there again, I think it brings, because God challenged me, I just kind of started going into restaurants. Okay, Lord, we ask You. I mean, my heart was in it. Don't get me wrong. Lord, bless this food and nourish my body. I mean, I am now, regardless of any pressure I feel or the situation, I bless my food. And I do it to honor God. And I do it to bring glory to His name. I do it to in one sense, just let people know, hey, there's a few Christians around. They're still around. They still believe in God. And hopefully it will encourage some other people that are feeling that pressure. But folks, if we're going to worship God, we've got to do it in the Spirit and in truth. But this, the bottom line here, this is what God is wanting from us. And true worship of God requires more than an intellectual acknowledgement of His existence. Well, a lot of people will say, sure, there's a God. Oh, I believe in God. But they don't serve Him. They don't give Him any respect. They don't give Him any honor. And they never worship Him. And so, if we're going to discover God's purpose for our life, we must understand that worship is the primary reason that we are created. God, help me to get this into your heart by the help of the Holy Spirit and into your mind so that you understand this. Because you know what we really believe in this country? It's about my career. Folks, let me just tell you, if you will be a worshiper of God, your career will take care of itself. Sure, there are some things you'll need to do. Some of you say, man, I've got to get a house together. I've got to get this all worked out. Folks, if you will put God first and be a worshiper of God first, God will see to it that you have the kind of house that you and your family need, or whatever it is. If it's transportation, if it's promotion, whatever it is, the starting place, the purpose of your life. And even if it doesn't happen the way you want, you are still called to be a worshiper. I mean, you know, David continually reminded himself of that fact. He said, I will continually praise the Lord. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Let me tell you, David understood worship. And David had some bad times. David had some seasons in his life, not of his own doing either. You remember when Saul, the demonized king of Israel, became jealous of him and tried to kill him and tried to murder him for years? Hey, David was still a praiser. What about when David finally went to the enemy's camp and they gave him a city called Ziklag, and he's there, and he's finally decided, okay, this thing and this dream and this plan that I had with God, I guess it isn't going to work. So I'm just going to go and help the enemy. I'm called to be a worshiper. I'm called to be a warrior. I'm going to go do that. So he goes and he joins up with the foreign armies. Then they reject him. David, you can't go fight with us. These other kings that are fighting in this battle, they don't trust you. They think that you're going to turn on us and you're going to serve Israel. If that weren't enough, David goes back and he's making his best effort to praise God. He gets back to Ziklag. Ziklag has been attacked and burned, and his family and all the brothers' families and all their stuff has been taken away. And it says now the brothers turn on. This is when you really don't feel like rejoicing. The brothers have turned on him, and now they're saying, David, we're ready to kill you. You are the problem, David. But you know what David did? It says he got the ephod and he went and he began to worship God, and he put it over his head and he began to worship God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Folks, whether we're on top of the mountain, whether we're in the valley, my purpose, your purpose, the purpose of every human being that you know is to be a worshiper of God. And I know we all want to reach people for the Lord, but let me just tell you, the number one way you're going to reach people for the Lord is being a worshiper. And when you do that, folks, you're saying things, and things are coming out of your life that are natural for you, and you don't even take a second thought about them, but others are taking note of it. And they're seeing it. We've all got people like that in our lives. There are people, and I need to move on now, but let me just tell you, there are people in my life that I pastor that do not come to this church. Thank God Ron Hammond's taught me this truth. There are people, I'm just not going to be very specific, there are people in this community who will never come to this church, or maybe they will one day, but I pastor them. And I've done things and said things I didn't really realize I was doing, and suddenly I realized, boy, they are watching. They are watching. They're watching. And they really want to see something. And I don't think they expect you to be perfect. Everyone say amen. I do need to move on. Let me say this about worship. Worship is far more than music. Now, I hope you'll hear me for a moment this morning. Depending on your religious background, you may need to expand your understanding of worship. For example, you may think a church service with singing and praying and listening to a sermon as worship. Or you may think of ceremonies and candles, or maybe even communion as worship. Or you may think of healing miracles, which we believe in here, and exciting experiences as worship. But I want you to listen very, very carefully to me today. Worship can include all of these elements. However, turn to your neighbor and say, however, worship is far more than these expressions. If we stop with just these expressions, we've just pretty well had a church service, and then we just kind of leave God out of the rest of our week and the rest of our time. Worship is far more than this, and this is where God wants to expand our thinking and enlarge our thinking about what worship is. Let me tell you what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is your lifestyle. Listen to me now. None of us do this perfectly. None of us get it right every day. None of us get it right in every season of our life. But let me just tell you, the first words that come out of your mouth in the morning are a form of worship. And that's the reason we need to be very cautious. And we need to be very careful. I try to make a habit of greeting God when I open my eyes before anything else pops into my mind and giving Him a praise and declaring, Lord, how are you today? And I say some things to Him and say, today, and I don't do this every day, but I'm going to tell you most every day, and I say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life today. Would you be Lord of my life today? And that doesn't make me anything special. It's just my effort to be a worshiper. Folks, what we do throughout the day, this is the reason a lot of people accuse Christians of being hypocrites. We kind of think it's just about church. It's about these things that we've talked about. And it's all got to be packed in this time frame here when we get together. And that's church and that's worship. Now let's go live. No. We worship God as we live. In fact, we worship God and we live out of that worship. Friends, if people can ever grasp this, this is your number one purpose in life. But it's hard for us in this country, especially when the alarm clock goes off on Monday morning, to really realize this. It's very difficult for us to understand this. But I want you to know that worship is more than music. It's more than all these other things. Worship is a lifestyle and has to do with the things that I do throughout the day that bring pleasure to God. In fact, did you know that worship predates music? Come on, all you music lovers, give us a break now. Come on. Adam worshiped God in the garden. Now, it doesn't say anything about him having a harp. It doesn't say anything about background music. It doesn't say anything about hosannas in the background. It doesn't say anything about all these things. Come on, now I can tell some of you just kind of dropped off a little bit there. I'm not saying doing away with the music. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we got to broaden our thinking about what worship is. Worship is anything that brings pleasure to God. If you like to get up to worship music, I think that's great. Hopefully your alarm clock, when it goes off, has beautiful Christian worship music playing on it. But if it doesn't, and you're not necessarily a really musical person, it's okay. Adam worshiped God. In fact, however, I got to slow down. I'm a little bit excited today. It's all right, though. Music isn't mentioned until Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, with the birth of Jubal. It says Jubal was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. Folks, listen, if worship were just about music, then all of us non-musical people, we could never worship. We couldn't do it. It's true. I don't know. I'm just being honest. Some of the songs, even the Christian songs, they just don't do much for me. They just don't. But I love worship. And I want to be a worshiper. Y'all can stop laughing now. Let me just tell you this. One ethnic group's music can sound like noise to another. Now, I'm not going to name any countries this morning, but I was in one particular country. I'm telling you, the music, after a while, would rattle your nerves. And this worship team went everywhere we went. And they had a style. I tell you, I needed some nerve pills or something. We all just really, we tried to say, oh, Jesus, help us. It was not a pleasing sound. But you know what? To the people of that country and that culture, oh, my, they were so excited. And they had breakthrough, and they praised the Lord. And we're taking aspirin and Tylenol and other things. And I'm just being honest with you. But I want you to think about this. God likes variety, and He enjoys it all. You know, one thing I do like about myself, I like some of the hymns. Amen? I like a few of the hymns. And so do a lot of other people. Amen? We like hymns. I don't want the whole service to be all hymns. But I like, let me tell you, to the other extreme. Now, some of you won't go here with me. If we had the group to do it, I'm going to tell you what, we'd be doing some pop music and some other things in this place. Amen. We'd be doing some hip-hop music. Boy, that, good God, that went over great. That's what happens when you live in East Texas. Y'all go for those hymns. And I got to say, praise the Lord to this congregation. And to those of you who have a few years on your life, you're maturing. I'll tell you, you have been so wonderful here as we have gone to a more progressive style of worship in order to reach some younger people. I really appreciate it, and I thank you for it. And I think Mark and the worship team does an excellent, excellent job. Amen. But I appreciate you understanding that worship is more than just hymns. Amen? I love Amazing Grace. And I go to these funeral services, and I'm a part of them oftentimes. They start singing Amazing Grace, and I've got to hold it together as the preacher, and I just start breaking down inside, and I'm looking at all this crowd, and everybody's out there. They're crying because so-and-so's gone to heaven or gone somewhere, and I'm sitting there trying not to choke up, and I've got to get up here and be strong and pray, and I'm, you know, and the blood of Jesus, and, you know, all these things, and it moves us. But let me tell you, the right kind of hip-hop will move you too. Come on, I'm going to keep preaching this till y'all get it. I'm looking for a hip-hop group to come and do some specials. I'm going to tell you, I was in a service in Dallas, Texas, and they have a variety of worship in it. Let me tell you, it is awesome. It is awesome. Let me tell you, God likes variety. We don't. Usually, but God does. Why does He like variety? Because He created all these different people, and they have different likes and different tastes and different cultures and different countries. God likes variety, and I believe that He enjoys it all. Now, beloved, let me just say a few things here before I close today. You and I are created for God's pleasure. I think you got that. How many of you got the part of it where I told you that worship is more than music? Beloved, listen to me. It is. It's more than music. I love music. It enhances. But let me tell you, what are we going to do sometime if we're somewhere at the hospital or wherever and we don't have any music? What are we going to do? Say, well, I'm going to have a breakdown here and I'm just going to go into a state of doubt and unbelief here. I don't have any music. We need to learn how to worship God even without music. How many of you know, and I've reminded us of this, worship is more than a church service. What is worship? Worship is to be a lifestyle. And beloved, this is our primary purpose in life. If you want to refer to it as purpose number one, you can. You and I are called what? To be worshipers. Now here's one of the scriptures that we use a great deal in our congregation that God began to speak to me probably more years ago than I care to realize about our purpose. But let me tell you, these verses, oh, see, I get emotional every time I think about them. Mix a little music with it. My heart gets stirred. As I came to a time in my life and I said, even as a preacher, I said, God, life is too complicated. There's too much going on. You know, one One church says you got to do it this way. One conference says you got to do it this way. Bible says this. He says that. They like this. They don't. I just cried out to God. God, help me in the midst of life to just simplify life. Surely this is not your best. Surely this is not what you have planned for your people. Just confusion and this like and that like and his taste and her like. God began to speak to me. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, he used a man to do that. He used Pastor Rick Warren to speak into my life. And I'm going to tell you something. The man speaks into my life to this day. You may not know this, but Rick Warren nationally takes care of pastors. And weekly, I get all this pastoral information from Rick Warren. Rick Warren's just a man. I don't agree with everything Rick says and everything Rick espouses. But just like God spoke to me through Pastor Rick Warren and through the Purpose Driven Life book, I believe God wants to speak to some of you that maybe you're just learning this or you're just realizing this, or some of you that maybe need to be reminded. I know you've already indicated this. We all want a simpler life. And let me tell you, when you discover God's purpose for your life, life does become a lot simpler. But it seems like it's very difficult for us to get this arranged in our minds in America. You're called to be a worshiper. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Put it first. And all these things that you need and that you desire, your clothing, your home, your provision, your economy, God will take care of. It seems like we struggle. We struggle to do that. We get under pressure and feel like we've just got to go and just rush through life and fight life and deal with it. And then at the end of the day, throw our head on a pillow and hopefully today we can sleep. Here's your purpose. Matthew 22 verses 37 says this. And Jesus said to him, he was a man who wanted to know, how do you get to heaven? How is it that you get to heaven if you're here or you're hearing me today and you don't know how to get to heaven? Here is how you get to heaven. This is how you find eternal life. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And if you do this, you will discover the purpose of life. How many of you would say with me, I'm ready to discover the purpose of life again. I'm ready to renew my heart to that. And folks, you listen to me as we're standing this morning. I want you to hear me. You've heard what your purpose is. But there's a problem. There is a devil who hates God. There is a devil that hates every one of you. There is a devil in this world that we read about who is making every attempt he can to steal what belongs to God, the worship of God. And folks, listen, here's a reality. When we do not worship God, I know people don't like this and people don't even oftentimes believe this. If you're not worshiping God, let me tell you, you're worshiping something else. And there is no fence in this world. We preached about it for years. There's a fence. Get off the fence. There is no fence. You're either moving forward with God in a relationship or you're moving away from Him. And that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan, if you read the Bible, craves the worship of mankind. And this is the reason it is so important that we understand right now the hour that we live in. It's okay if you want to watch the news. It's okay if you want to think about politics and talk about those things. Just don't argue over them. But let me tell you what is behind the scene that you are not seeing. Let me tell you what's behind the scene in America and in Europe and around the world right now. It is an unseen battle. Satan is attempting to steal humanity from God and to steal that worship. He craves it. He still believes that he can conquer and that he can win. So when you get up on Monday morning and all these crazy thoughts and this depression and this discouragement and this vengeance and this anger is in your heart, recognize where it is coming from. It is a battle and it is real. And I can tell you, this series made the devil mad. Pardon me. But me and my little beloved have gone through some really serious spiritual battles in the last few weeks. I've learned not to give up. I've learned to say, I must be on something that really makes the devil mad. Folks, when people start discovering their purpose, and when you get people connected in relationship, the devil knows that his hands are tied. When you get connected with people and those voices come and you've got a brother or sister who can say, hey, I want to pray for you. I don't bear witness with that. That doesn't sound like God. He doesn't like it. And that's the reason I'm asking every one of you to get in a small group. We want to help you, please, folks. This is not some, you know, help the pastor fulfill his vision and his dream. No, I believe this is God's dream. And I can take you back to the place in Waco, Texas, when I saw a book that I really thought was some other author, and God focused me on that book, and I put it off for 1 year. And then when I finally picked the book up, I began to understand purpose. I began to understand why we're here on the earth. And I've been trying to tell people ever since. I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to pray for you. Folks, life is not to be as complicated as it is. Christianity and church life is not to be complicated. Will you let me just say one other thing? One of the reasons we just stopped doing a lot of the things we were doing, we realized we were keeping people so busy doing God things, they didn't have time for relationship. And so what are we doing now? We're shifting from activities to relationship. Oh, we need activities. We need other meetings. But what we need first and foremost is relationships. How many of you are ready to let God touch your heart this morning? Can we just pray this morning? Lord, in Jesus' name, I just pray that, Lord, you give us ears to hear. I do believe that I have been heard today. I believe you have been heard today, Lord. And I just pray that we will consistently walk in our purpose. And Lord, when things are going well, I pray that we'll not get out there and get prideful and think that we don't need you in our relationship, that we can handle it now. But Lord, when things are not going well, I pray we won't get in that mindset of discouragement and doubt and unbelief that says God doesn't care for us and doesn't love us. Lord, help us to be a balanced people. Lord, help us to walk in that pathway that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to be like David and to give you praise in the good times and in the bad times and everything in between, Lord. Father, I pray you deposit in every one of our spirits and our heart this morning what our purpose is. And our purpose is to love you with everything that is within us. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said this morning, amen. Amen. God bless you.